If you have your Bibles, why don't you open them to Luke chapter 2. Our text this morning will be Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And wow, thank you to our worship team for leading us that way. And it's good to see all of you. I'm glad you're here as we celebrate the final week of Advent, as we think about Christmas, as we prepare our hearts together to celebrate this week. So the text, Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to just read verses 8 through 14, and I think you've heard these verses before, likely. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in a field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, for you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray and we pray together in one accord that you would speak this morning to our hearts through your word. And you would do certain things like dispel fear and replace it with joy. Dispel shame and replace it with faith and confidence in the finished work of Christ. Dispel the darkness and replace it with your light. Lord, I pray that the gospel would be clear to everyone here and that our hearts would rejoice in the truth of the gospel. We'd embrace it, believe it, leave here with our confidence solely in it, in you, in the Son of God. Help me, Father, to know nothing here except Christ and him crucified. And Lord, I pray for those for whom Christmas is a very difficult time. We pray together that you would encourage hearts in the gospel this week, in this time. All of our hearts, but especially those who ache for somebody who has gone on or some other issue that they're facing this year. Oh, we need Christmas. We need the hope of Christmas. We need it for 2020. We need it for every year. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I will begin and end this morning with what we see in verse 9 and 10, verses 9 and 10. All right, so when the angel appeared to the shepherds and they saw the glory of God, that's what they saw, the glory of God. It was an angel, but the glory of God shone about them. It says that they were greatly afraid or filled with great fear, right? And that was reasonable, wasn't it? Sinful man in the presence of God's glory. The presence of God's glory has every reason to be afraid normally. But the first thing the angel told them was that because of what had happened in Bethlehem that day, they do not need to be afraid. You see, this is the good news that turns out our great fear into great joy. Keep that in mind as we unpack this text. I'm going to come back. I'm going to circle back to this. When we end, the gospel turns our fear in the presence of God's glory into great joy. That's the meaning of Christmas. Don't you love this time of year? I know that for some of you it's hard, but most of you love it too, even if it's hard. And all of us seem to have fond memories of one Christmas or another. As for me, I love Christmas traditions. I love them. I love this time of year when we play, you know, I like it. Right after the day after Thanksgiving, we go off and we find a Christmas tree, with quotes, Christmas tree in the woods, cut it down, bring it. If you've seen ours, you know why the quotes. I like ours. It's a nice tree, but it's a beautiful tree. But We sing Christmas songs for the first time. We play Christmas music. I love that. I love the tradition. I love eggnog, you know, the non-alcoholic variety. Well, yeah, we'll go with that. Non-alcoholic variety. I love watching Christmas classic movies over and over again every Christmas time. I love that. I love seeing the Christmas lights around town. I love singing Christmas carols like we'll do tonight at 6 o'clock. I love receiving Christmas cards and cheesecake, if you're taking orders. I love the Christmas children's program at church that we're going to just celebrate in a few moments here. I love it. I dig Christmas morning when we get up right at dawn and sit by our Christmas tree waiting anxiously to open gifts. It's all very joyful, but I know that there is so much more to Christmas than those things. Christians ought to let all of those traditions point our hearts to something bigger. That's what they're for. They're not an end to themselves. They're meant to point our hearts to something bigger, to point our hearts to Christ. They're not meant to be the center. That's what all those things are for. It's what we're doing this morning. It's what this is for. It's what our Christmas program is for. What this sermon is about. I want to intentionally focus our minds on the Savior who is Christ the Lord this morning. And so to do that, we're going to take a brief look at this angel's announcement to a few shepherds who were in the fields with their sheep near Bethlehem that night, the day that Jesus was born. There's something amazing about the fact that God revealed this great news to shepherds, right? And I don't say that because I think that shepherds, you know, a lot of people, you read some commentaries or devotionals about this time of year, they say that the shepherds were the lowest of society. I don't see any evidence of that in my read of history. And in the scriptures, the shepherds are almost always portrayed in a favorable way. So I don't think that's not why it's amazing to me. Most of them were honest and hardworking and respectable. What's amazing to me was that these shepherds were very ordinary people, just ordinary people. They were not usually the leaders of society. They weren't the religious leaders by any stretch. They weren't the most religious. They were ordinary folk, not even named in this account, not even named. And how I would have loved to be one of those unnamed, ordinary guys that night when an angel from heaven came and announced the most important news the world had ever heard. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The reason I think that God chose to announce the most important news ever to unnamed shepherds was because of one phrase in verse 10. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The last phrase is why I think God chose to announce this to them. The arrival of the long-awaited Savior is good news for all the people. The greatest of kings, the richest of businessmen, the hardest working factory workers, the unemployed, the young, the old, the forgotten, the downtrodden, the marginalized, even the wicked can look to Christ and find in him a Savior who is mighty to save. That's profoundly good news. The gospel is good news for all the people. I hope you can see what that means. It means that the gospel is not just good news for churchgoers. It's not just good news for religious people or for moral people. The gospel is good news for all people because people from all races, all classes, all walks of life can look to Christ and be saved. It is equally good news to the tribesmen out in the jungles of the Amazon rain basin as it is to the Western missionary who heralds the good news to them. Jesus' coming is the best news ever, and it's for all people. It is for you. Of course, not everyone sees the gospel that way. To some, the gospel is folly, and they reject it as silliness. I know many who do that. To some, Jesus Christ is a stumbling stone over which they trip. Their name offends them. His name offends them. That's how Paul described the gospel in 1 Corinthians 1. To some it's folly, to others a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. But the fact of the matter here, announced gloriously to these ordinary shepherds, is that this is good news for all the people, to everyone who humbly looks by faith to Jesus Christ. Christmas is supremely good news, because everyone who looks to Jesus that way will find an all-sufficient Savior. That's the good news of great joy. The angel gave them three reasons why it's good news of great joy. First, because the baby born in Bethlehem is a Savior. Second, because he is the Savior, not a Savior. He is the Savior. And second, because he is the Christ. And third, because he is Lord. Now, the people of Israel would have immediately understood the concept of Savior. There's a few words in here they would have got right away. That's one of them. Savior, they would have understood right away. But their ideas of Savior were much smaller than God's ideas of a Savior. They expected God to deliver them from Rome. You probably know this, but at this moment of this announcement, this time, Israel was an occupied nation. Rome was sitting squarely on Israel's chest, and they could barely breathe without Rome's permission. They longed for freedom from that oppression. They longed to be delivered. They wanted a Savior who would come and break Caesar's hold on them. They longed for that. They wanted deliverance from political oppression. Parents would tell their kids about that. Hey, one day we won't be occupied by the Romans. One day a Savior will come. That was their idea of a Savior. But Jesus came to do far more. Jesus came to deliver Israel and really the rest of fallen Genesis 3 world from the death and sin and hell that our sin deserves, to great joy in Christ. Listen to how the writer of Hebrews put it in Hebrews 2:15. Jesus delivers all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's what Jesus came to do. We don't have time to look up all the verses today, but if you go home and you do a word search, if you have a computer and a Bible program, and you do a word search on the word deliver or deliver, you'll see a great deal that Christ delivers us from. He delivers us from wrath. He delivers us from the devil. He delivers us from this present evil age. He delivers us from the domain of darkness. He delivers us from deadly peril. He delivers us from our own sinfulness. Jesus is the Savior who delivers us from sin and death and hell to God. Christmas is about the Savior who came to deliver us. The next word is Christ. It means Messiah or anointed one or promised one. What the angel meant when he called the baby Christ is that Jesus was the long awaited fulfillment of God's promise. God was fulfilling his promise in sending Jesus. He is the Christ. One of the amazing things about the Bible, and one of the big reasons why I know it is no ordinary book, that it did not come from man, is that from its first few pages all the way through to the end, it is absolutely consistent with a message. It's amazing when you consider that it was written by 40 authors. Cody gave us the rundown last Thursday. 40 different authors, 1,600 years, 3 different languages, a few different continents, from kings to sir. I mean, just a very diverse group of literature with one big theme holding it all together. The promise of God to send Christ to redeem his people. The very first few chapters of Genesis, while the first man walked the earth and sinned against God, that promise was made. So from the beginning of human history, God promised to save his people. And the angel was saying to these shepherds, God is keeping his promise tonight. The babe born in Bethlehem, along with the cross and the empty tomb, is God's promise kept. The angel called the baby Christ because he wanted the shepherds to understand the significance of Jesus' birth. This was God keeping his promise. And that's why Christians should have the greatest confidence in the world, even in years like 2020 or harder years that might still come. confidence. Because God keeps his promise. He is faithful. We ought to know that God always keeps his promise. Our ultimate hope is that God will keep his promise to us in Christ. And that one day we'll celebrate a second advent. Christ will come again. Not a single promise that God has ever made has ever failed. Not one. We have rock solid confidence that God is and always will be faithful. Christmas is about God keeping his promise. The third and final title that the angel assigned to the babe born in Bethlehem is Lord. Oh, I love this. He doesn't unpack it here, but we know that this title has huge significance. Huge. The word means ruler or master or sovereign one. And how important that Lord is, his jurisdiction is defined by the context, right? Somebody could be just a lord of an estate or something far greater. And the jurisdiction of Christ has no end. He is God. He is Lord of all. That's, by the way, that's the title used throughout the New Testament, throughout the Septuagint even, to talk about Yahweh, the personal name of God. That's why your Bible says the Lord with all caps in the Old Testament. The title here means that Jesus is God. Jesus was not just a baby. Christmas is not just about a baby. Christmas is about the Lord, God coming to us to live with us in the flesh to save us. Jesus is Lord, and his jurisdiction is everywhere. Everywhere. And he is that objectively. Jesus is Lord objectively. We don't make him Lord. We don't decide that he is Lord. We don't yield to him authority that he doesn't somehow have without our permission. He is Lord. Objectively, over all, everyone and everything falls under his direct authority. When all is said and done, there is no one, believer or unbeliever, who will be able to resist the lordship of Jesus Christ. Everybody do this for me real quick. I want you to look at your knees. Everybody just look at your knees. You seeing them? Okay, now you can look back up. You probably have nice knees, yeah? Listen to what Philippians 2, 7 through 11 says about your knees. Jesus emptied himself, verse 7, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You hear that? Every knee. That includes your knees and my knees and the knees of all people everywhere who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And also all the knees of the proud people who all their lives reject Jesus and consider it foolishness and are cut off from Christ. Every knee will one day bow. And every tongue will confess. Every tongue in the universe will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Oh, the gospel invitation is for you to confess him now like that. He is Lord. Christmas is about Jesus, who is sovereign over all, about the sovereign Lord over all. So those are three things Christmas is about, why it's really good news of great joy. Christmas is about the Savior who came to deliver us. Christmas is about God keeping his promises. And Christmas is about Jesus, who is Lord of all. After one angel made his announcement, if you follow this, how this works out, one angel first gives that announcement, right? And then he is joined together by a host of other angels, and together they made it clear what the highest purpose of Christmas really is. They testified together to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The birth of Jesus marked the beginning of the events that would bring God the highest glory ever. Jesus glorified God by his life and by his death and by his resurrection. And through the faith of countless saints throughout the ages who trust in Christ alone, Christmas is about God's glory. God is glorifying himself. Now, I know the word glory can be hard to understand. It kind of can seem abstract. I think we know it when we see it, right? We know glory when we see it. We know when a guy is an amazing athlete and runs the ball, you know, from one end of the field to the other. That's what they do in football, right? No, I'm just kidding. I know that. We know the glory of a musician who can really play an instrument and make it sing. We know glory when we see it, but it's hard to define. I think the best definition, or one helpful definition, is the glory of God is the compelling and beautiful display of God and all his attributes. And I don't even have to put the word compelling or beautiful in there, right? Because the display of God is compelling and beautiful. But I'll just leave him in there. In Jesus, we have the most compelling and the most beautiful display of God's grace and his righteousness and his justice and his love and his power. In Jesus, we see God, and he is sublime in his wonder and in his glory. So the host of angels, who saw this the most clearly, surrounded that single messenger that night and boldly proclaimed that Christmas is about God's highest glory. Now, it's a shorter time today because they're going to come up here soon and do a Christmas program. But let's go back to verses 9 and 10 and think about the fear of the shepherds. I don't think they feared just because they suddenly saw a light, as scary as that might have been. These are guys who spend nights outside with wild animals and all of that, okay? These are not weakling guys. These are tough guys. I don't think that's why they saw the fear. That would have been frightening, but I think this is more than fright. It says that they were filled with great fear. And as I said, I think it was totally appropriate. God's glory shone around them. What sinner this side of Eden would not be afraid of God's glory? You know, if you were just going about your normal day, and your clothes were kind of dirty, and, you know, you're just working, your hair is kind of a mess, you're not, you know, you're not kept the way that you'd want to be kept, and all of a sudden you were ushered into the presence of, I don't know, the Queen of England, and you're standing before her in all her splendor. I know this fails on it, whatever, but she's not our queen. We crossed that bridge a long time ago, but you know what I mean, right? You would feel like, oh man, I wish I had like combed my hair. I wish I was wearing nicer clothes. I wish I wasn't so dirty. You'd feel a little insecure, right? Now times that feeling by a billion. These shepherds were all of a sudden ushered into the very presence of God, the glory of God, the display of God all around them. That would make you afraid. But the good news of great joy for all the people is that now, in the bright, shining glory of God, we do not need to fear. Because in Christ, we have peace with God. In Christ, God is pleased with us. In Christ, God is pleased. We are bound up with Christ by faith. And God's pleasure in Christ is now his pleasure in us in him. Because of Jesus, because of Christmas, and because of Good Friday, and because of Resurrection Sunday, God is pleased with us. And you do not need to fear. No more fear. My friends, I don't care how ruffled you are by life. I don't care how horrible your past might be or how deep your sin is. You do not have to fear in Christ. You do not have to fear being in the presence of God. You need only trust the Savior, and there is no fear in that. Perfect love casts out fear. That, my friends, is the meaning of Christmas. And I pray that your hope is in Christ today. And I pray as you celebrate with your family or your friends or with whoever, even if you're alone, I pray that day that your heart will be full of the grace of God in Christ, because a babe was born in Bethlehem, so that you no longer have to fear, but stand before a holy and right God with perfect peace between you and him. Let's pray. Lord, we do rejoice in you. We rejoice in the hope that we have in Christmas. We rejoice that we no longer have to fear. Oh, Father, I pray that today, if there is one here who's come not truly believing in Christ, that they would see Christ in that display, in the word, in the gospel, and that today they would believe. And I pray that you would strengthen all of us in our resolve to trust in you today. Help us, Lord, to believe. And thank you. And thank you for these children. We rejoice. In the gospels, Jesus said, let the children come. Oh, Lord, as they come and talk about the gospel of Christmas, I pray that we would rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen.